Hi there, Neil here. Obviously, you love to travel. That's why you're listening to this podcast. Circa, our app, available right now from the App Store on iOS, is filled with podcasts and guides for travelers. But more than that, it has a feature that we're calling the Circa Concierge, where you can have any question about any place you're traveling answered by real people on the ground. We're giving you a friend to ask anywhere in the world. And hey, if you've got questions about Barcelona, you might even get me. Because I love to help people discover my city. And if you're the same way for the city where you live, then we want you to become part of the Circa Concierge too. Right now, we're searching for concierges in Barcelona, Rome, London, Paris, Madrid, Venice, and New York City. Don't see your city listed? That's okay. We'll be rolling out new cities throughout the year, and yours might just be next. If you love where you live and love to help travelers, sign up now to be a Circa Concierge. Help out our users and earn tips for the knowledge you have about your own city or country. Head over to circatravel.com/concierge and sign up today.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Are we in a spaceship right now?
That's what I feel like.
It feels like it.
Feels
like
a little
shitty one
with a flamingo on it.
USS Pink Flamingo.
Captain's Log. Stardate, September 22nd.
A destination isn't always a place.
Sometimes it's a new way of seeing things. I'm Neil Innes.
And I'm Andres Bartos.
From Frequency Machine, this is Passport.
Your ticket to everywhere.
You know Peru from Machu Picchu, the Incas, ceviche, maybe mountains, definitely pisco.
Peru has everything: dense jungles, imposing mountains, and a long coastline. A rich history that combines breathtaking Incan archaeological sites with the original seats of colonial power on the southern continent. Immigration from Asia has given it one of the most unique gastronomies in the world.
But people also treasure Peru for something else. UFOs. To those in the know, Peru is the mecca for unidentified flying objects. Peru's capital, Lima, has its very own X-Files-style UFO investigations office, an official department in the Peruvian Air Force.
Generally these days, UFOs are not taken very seriously. But recently, the Pentagon released footage of U.S. Air Force pilots tracking mega-fast, unidentified objects that left no vapor trails. This has been stirring up a lot of mainstream interest.
There was even a report in the New York Times in July about the Pentagon's own Secret Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon Task Force. Nope, not the National Enquirer, the New York frickin' Times.
And a former director of the task force is convinced that objects of undetermined origin have crashed on Earth and been retrieved for study by the U.S. military.
In Peru, they don't need much convincing. UFOs are already part of the national psyche.
The reason? Just the sheer number of sightings and weird goings-on. So, are UFOs really visiting Earth? And if so, why have they singled out Peru?
Passport's Andres Bartos and writer-producer Darren Lucades have both had their own mysterious sightings in South American skies. And today, they're going to find out that they are not alone. And neither are we.
Where do you stand on UFOs?
I don't know. I've never seen anything.
You've never seen anything.
like most things, I'd rather believe because it's just more fun.
More interesting.
Yeah. I hope there's a heaven. I hope there's little green men. But I'm in a weird predicament here because I know and love and trust both of you guys. Mm. And I know that you've seen stuff.
We have.
I have to believe by proxy.
But the question is, what did we see?
And how many mind-altering substances had you taken? Andres?
Very good point.
It's tricky, right, isn't it? Because, like, technology is evolving so quickly, so some of these things are probably, like, weird advanced military aircraft.
Exactly.
And, like, drones.
Sure.
But, that like, there's just that percentage that just, like, can't be explained by any conventional means.
Well, and it seems like this year, in particular because of Corona,
seems
like the clearest skies we've had ever. And also the most sightings, just because there's a chance to actually track and follow this stuff.
Yeah.
We're at that point, like you say, proper journalism, looking into this, trying to figure out, is 2020 the year? If we're going to have a year where we figure out that we've been invaded by aliens, it's definitely this year.
It's going to be the cherry on the cake.
That Pentagon footage of that,
like,
I don't see how humans are making that.
No.
I've read some kind of bizarre optical illusion, but I don't see how. Or
because that is definitely there. It's definitely some distance away, and it's fast.
I mean, let me just tell you guys that I've been into like space and Star Trek and aliens since I was a kid. And like people sometimes say to me like, nah, I don't believe there's aliens. Now we're alone. It seems like it's pretty statistically unlikely to me
that
we've got like hundreds of billions of stars just in our one galaxy. And there's like infinite galaxies.
Yeah. Everybody I've ever talked to about this, I think, has that feeling like there is unexplainable stuff. And then like you did, you put it in the category of, you know, heaven and religion and the sky immediately makes you think about this stuff. So if you think about those periods of time where everybody was seeing burning bushes and, you know, even in the States in the 19th century, they were like people having mass hallucinations of proper, you know, Israelites walking in Colorado and crazy shit like that. There is a possibility that we're going through this now as well.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
we're going through incredibly tense and stressful times where our whole reality is kind of twisting in on itself. We don't know what's what. We can't tell reality apart from fiction. So, you know, it's only strange because we have measuring devices that seem to be picking this stuff up and we have phones that can photograph.
I don't know.
The whole point is that we don't know.
Yeah. It's always like science fiction, isn't it, until it's science fact.
There you go.
As you fly into Lima, the capital of Peru, you see a huge city sprawling out beneath you. A chaotic, densely populated city of around 10 million. Lima heaves with shining tower blocks and grand older buildings, the colonial mixed with the modern. Pretty much what you expect of a major South American metropolis. But there is a secret that marks Lima out. Somewhere in the trendy barrio of Miraflores, which hugs the city's high cliffy coastline, is a dark cubbyhole investigating UFOs for the Peruvian government. Seriously.
Today, UFO hunting can seem a bit old-fashioned, kind of a retro interest. The heyday was the 50s and the 60s when sci-fi shows like Star Trek hit the small screen. At the time, governments were testing advanced new aircraft at the height of the Cold War. In the 90s, there was a bit of a resurgence in interest thanks to shows like The X-Files. But in Peru, UFOs never really went out of style.
I was in Peru in 2014, and I had my very own honest-to-God UFO sighting. What is it that makes Peru such a hotspot? Alien hunters say it's not just about sightings. There are powerful energy spots in Peru. Just think about the mysterious Nazca Lines, which some think are alien landing strips.
The Nazca Lines in southern Peru are a group of 300 geoglyphs etched into desert sands. They cover nearly 1,000 square kilometers and depict animals and plants. Some of the lines which make up these giant symbols are 30 meters wide and stretch more than 9 kilometers. At that scale, you can only appreciate them from the air.
But is it all just a bit of fun? Or is there something more sinister going on here?
Peru's Department of Investigation of Anomalous Aerial Phenomena is trying to answer that very question. That long-winded name, it boils down to a real-life UFO's office. And the work they're doing is deadly serious. The department is officially part of the Peruvian Air Force. And like the X-Files, it contains a real-life Fox Mulder.
My father was a pilot. My uncle was a pilot too. My life is absolute refer to the sky.
That's Marco Bourassa, a.k.a. the Peruvian Fox Mulder. Marco's been interested in UFOs since he was a kid. Around 2008, when Marco was in his 30s, he began sharing his interest with others.
I decided to start writing a blog, a simple blog. It was called Our Extraterrestrial Past. In Spanish, it's Nuestro Pasado Extraterrestre. And it was mainly an astronomy blog, communicated in a fun and a simple way, in sharing my search with everyone.
Marco no longer produces the blog.
Unfortunately, not longer, because it's not compatible with my duties on the department, because I'm an investigator, you know. This is not compatible with a hard investigation.
How on earth did Peru end up opening UFO's office? The interest goes up to the highest reaches of Peruvian politics. Alberto Fujimori, Peru's president between 1990 and the year 2000, had his own close encounter back in the day. Fujimori was fishing with his personal escort deep in the Peruvian jungle when it happened.
It was a clear night, 9 p.m., when a strong light, like a laser beam, rapidly approached around 300 meters high, even splashing them with water, you know? There was a silence, there was a confusion.
Others familiar with the story have said that a luminous sphere rose out of the river in front of President Fujimori and his entourage before shooting towards the heavens. But at the time, they all agreed not to repeat the story to anyone.
Fujimori, by the way, is currently in prison, convicted for links to death squads that murdered thousands of political enemies. Just for the record. The original Office of Investigation into Aerial Phenomena was opened nearly 20 years ago. And the first ever case it investigated was the infamous Chulucanas incident. On October 13th, 2001, in Chulucanas, hundreds of people observed eight spheres of red-orange light moving intelligently through the sky for over 5 hours. Similar sightings continued for weeks.
So, while next year is Peru's bicentennial, 200 years since the country's founding, some are more eagerly awaiting the 20-year anniversary of Chulucanas. Marco told me more about the incident.
It's happening in the extreme north of Peru. The appearance of strange lights, many photographs and videos of the case were taken for numerous witnesses. Today, this topic is investigated from the strict perspective of national security.
Marco also tells me about a historic case at La Jolla Air Base in Arequipa, south of Lima. It happened on a morning in 1980, involving a MiG fighter jet and a UFO.
It's a very modern base, and all the people in the field see some strange form in the sky. It's big, it's like a balloon. It was the order to send a flight of reconnaissance. The Comandante Oscar Santa Maria was the pilot, and he described it perfectly.
Thinking the unidentified object was some kind of balloon, Comandante Oscar Santa Maria fired at it using his aircraft's howitzer guns. The bullets are about the size of a Coke can. He fired more than 50 shots, but the bullets just seemed to pass through the balloon-like object. The object then kept rising, higher than any plane could go, until finally the pilot had to abort.
The original UFO's office had a limited remit and closed in 2003. But Marco then lobbied the government for years to reopen it. Finally, on October 13th, 2013, coincidentally the anniversary of the Chulucanas incident, a new expanded office was opened, today's Department of Investigation of Anomalous Aerial Phenomena.
The investigations team included a mathematician, a sociologist, a physicist, an astronomer, a former military pilot, an anthropologist, and Marco, the investigator and communication specialist. As the department evolved over the last 7 years, Marco and an ex-general remained the only permanent members of the department, instead calling in specialists on a case-by-case basis, including aeronautical engineers, air defense specialists, and meteorologists.
Some of the cases are simple and just entail recording the event and filing the paperwork. Others require rather more investigation, speaking to witnesses, traveling to the location of the sighting or fallen debris.
So, just how many unexplained cases have there been since the department opened?
Unfortunately, Darren, I'm not authorized to share that information because the vast majority of cases are open right now. We are talking about the Peruvian airspace control. I hope you understand me.
It's true that many of the UFO sightings are probably illicit narco-trafficking flights or very possibly incursions from foreign militaries. But of course, we want to know about little green men.
I do not deny the phenomenon. It is real. It exists. It is there. It can be recorded. But we need more than testimonials and interpretations to take that next step. I have had some experience, but I don't comment it publicly. Maybe when I leave the aerial phenomena of the investigation department, I'm writing in a book, you know, I don't know.
We should say, this isn't the first time Marco and I have spoken. We met in Peru more than 5 years ago in a busy cafe in Lima. At the time, I asked Marco where in Peru I would have the best chance of seeing a UFO. One of the weirdest spots that Marco recommended to me was a place called Marcahuasi.
Always, I will recommend the Marcahuasi Plateau, a place almost out of a Stanley Kubrick movie, you know?
So I went to Marcahuasi, and I think I saw a UFO. But before we go there, let's check out a couple other places. I asked Marco about another hotspot I heard a lot about. It's called Chilca.
Chilca is to Peru like Roswell is to the United States. Chilca is a city in the Lima region surrounded by desert plains with mournful reddish peaks looming in the background. It looks a bit like Mars.
Chilca is famous.
The Rama group is one of the most famous groups of UFO hunters. People begging and hoping for contact with extraterrestrials.
This is the place from the 70s that a lot of young people going to the desert to waiting for contacts to the ships and contacts with alien beings.
Sixto Paz Wells is the leader of the Ramas and is the most famous alien hunter and contactee in Peru, maybe in the world. Sixto claims to have been in direct contact with aliens. Back to Marco.
I saw strange lights with the Ramas, mm-hmm. with the people of the Sixto Paz. This is real. Something is happening in this place. But I think this is some kind of place in Peru that need more investigation and more special equipment and more special technology to know specifically what happened in this place.
We're with Fox Mulder.
We're with
Fox. So what do you think of this guy?
I love him.
He's like really sweet and friendly, but he's like really professional as well. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, I can't talk about this because it's like, you know, we're
cases.
Part of the Peruvian Air Force. Like, this is serious work, Darren. But yeah, I believe in aliens. No, he's really cool. And like, I want to read his book when he writes that book one day.
For sure.
I think he's seen some crazy
shit bet.
In the classified files.
Well, if he's going out
with his own eyes.
Yeah, if he's Fox Mouldering out there in the middle of nowhere talking to like, you know, a lady with three llamas and interviewing her. I mean, it's got to be amazing.
He's like Fox Mulder, but he's like, you'd like to have a cup of coffee with this
totally.
Guy. Maybe not with Fox Mulder. He's a bit, you
that's
know,
a true.
He's a bit intense. David Duchovny, like, a bit
that's
much.
True.
Actually, it was like the hardest thing to do in Peru is to find somebody who hasn't seen you.
Well, the story that I found today accidentally, like, I just come across the fact that the Secretary General of the United Nations in the 80s, another Peruvian man, in Manhattan, of all places, depending on the account, either was kidnapped by aliens himself and won't talk about it, or witnessed a woman being pulled out of the 12th story of her Manhattan apartment. Bodyguards there watching the Secretary General of the United Nations observing this, and they're on the record as being like, he seemed a little distressed by what was going on.
Maybe aliens just dig Peruvian politicians.
Just messing with Peruvian politicians' heads.
That might be why they're all batshit.
Look at these guys.
I like the idea that it's the CIA just kind of messing with Latin American diplomats.
Like microdosing their coffee.
Totally. Yeah. Wouldn't put it past them.
When I spoke to 60 Path by email, he told me that Peru is the mecca of UFO hunting. Sixto doesn't speak English, but he put me in touch with one of his colleagues, Cesar Radegui, a Peruvian who's been living in Washington, D.C. since he was 16. Cesar has been interested in UFOs and the paranormal since he was a kid.
I do remember my dad taking me and my brother to the movies. We used to live in a little town. You know, we would like our chocolate or our soda, and I also wanted this specific magazine called Lo Insólito.
A magazine about UFOs and paranormal investigations.
My dad also, who likes this subject, started reading one of the very well-known contactee, Sixto Paz, one of his first books, Extraterrestrial Contact. I read many books of his, and it prepares you to start going to the outings.
Sixto Paz had his first contact event in 1974. Since then, he's written multiple books about his experiences and attracted thousands of followers from around the world, often organizing outings in different countries, but especially in Peru.
And really, to go to an outing, you really have to have read at least one of the books. Otherwise, you will waste your time and you probably won't see much because you're not going to be like the other people who are probably vibrating higher.
We told you things were going to get a lot weirder. So let's see how far down the rabbit hole we can go.
In Rama, which is the group I belong to, we have different initiations, as we call it. The sendras are like dimensional portals. Once you cross them, you could be somewhere else. You could probably go somewhere else, like what happened to Sixto. He was taken to one of the crafts, one of the UFOs, back in 74. Suddenly, I mean, you feel dizzy, and then before you know it, you're inside the ships.
I ask Cesar how this all began.
Sure. This group was initiated by Sixto Paz and his brothers. He was blessed to have a dad who was already in this arena.
Sixto was already deep into meditation. He connected with his family and together they tried to channel messages from interstellar beings.
They put papers and pencil on a table and started meditating. And he suddenly felt the urge of writing a message.
The message outlined the existence of aliens on Ganymede, one of the moons of Jupiter. It also hinted that the more you prepared yourself, as Sixto put it, the more contact you would be guaranteed. But these beings also have bases here on Earth. And of course, they're in Peru.
They have like two bases in the ocean in front of the coast of Peru. And one of them is pretty much in front of the city of Chilca.
You say they have two bases. Who do you mean by they, just to be clear?
There's like 60 different kinds of extraterrestrials visiting Earth right now. They would have harmed us long ago if they wanted to, but they haven't. So with them, being in communication with them, we saw the ships landing in Nazca. And not only there, we saw them coming out of the ship. And some of us have even gone into the ships and taken a ride with them.
What are they doing here?
What they're trying to tell us is that we are part of a cosmic plan. Life after death, Earth is mutating right now. Why are we going through all these things right now with a lot of earthquakes and volcanoes going off? This is what this is all about. This is what Rama is about. Preparing ourselves for this end of a cycle.
Cesar takes it spiritually too.
Meditating, praying, you elevate your frequency. Even the monks do it. All this helps for you to becoming a lighter person and prepares better for you to have a contact. So how do you vibrate higher? We raise our vibe. We're usually vibrating in a 3.3 dimension. And this beings are in the fourth, fifth, sixth dimension. So we raise our vibe with the meditations and everything. And these beings show up because they lower theirs and we raise ours. And that's where contact begins.
It's so interesting. My mind's a bit blown.
You told me to go, you know, further, so I'm doing it.
So, Chilka, where this all started for Sixto and his followers, seems pretty important.
It's incredible. A place out of this world. You see the ships like nothing. Like, they are there frequently.
What would you say to people that are skeptical? I mean, obviously, there's no physical evidence, right?
Yes, there is. Just come and see. Basically, the people from the press, we tell them, just come and see. Because we have had at least 10 outings with the press, and they have shown every single time. So do you want to see more? You got to give more. It's very simple. But you will be very welcome to one of the outings.
Yeah, no, I think that would be amazing to do. Yeah.
Oh my God.
He's so clear.
Utter. Like, earth-shattering. He has more confidence about that than I have in anything in my life.
I know. I would totally get in a car with that guy and drive out to the middle of nowhere. That's how confident he is.
You wouldn't come back to Passport. You would join Rama.
It's kind of incredible because there's parts of what he says that he's totally right, right? That we're at a moment of change. Yeah. The earth is mutating. Yeah, that we have to be prepared. That, you know, all this stuff. In a way, he's right. But then there's this other side, of course, that instinctively, for somebody who has some skepticism, you're thinking, what's going on? All right, guys, we'll be back after the break with the Nazca Lines and a personal UFO sighting.
Hi, everyone. Circa is recruiting new concierges. A Circa concierge is a friend to ask anywhere in the world. Real people, on the ground, never bots. If you want to be a concierge for your city, go to circatravel.com to sign up.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature-balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Let's go to a place in Peru that's almost synonymous with the paranormal, the Nazca Lines. Parked 250 miles south of Lima, the lines are giant geoglyphs, huge drawings of plants and animals etched, often with a single trace line, into the desert plains near the city of Nazca. They've been left intact century after century, thanks to the fact that it almost never rains there.
They are very mysterious. Why did people draw them? Why do they seem to have been made only to be appreciated from the skies? It was a Swiss author called Erich von Daniken who popularized the idea in the 1960s that the lines were made as alien landing strips. Our friend César tends to concur.
You can see an astronaut there. I mean, this is quite amazing. All these things were like astral ports. So pretty much they can see those lines from the sky. And Nazca has many, many, many more meanings that people maybe don't know much about. One of the places that was chosen for us to leave Earth, if that would happen, which I don't think is going to be the case, but I'm just telling you what I know, is Nazca.
I asked Cesar what he made of the more, let's say, scientific explanations for the lines.
This was done back in the 4th century. So, you know, making these drawings, which were huge, it's like the pyramids in Egypt. I mean, people from there did them, but they were guided by extraterrestrials.
I think it's time we come back to Earth for a little bit.
Hi, my name is Luis Jaime Castillo. I am a professor at the Catholic University in Lima, Peru.
Luis is an archaeologist who's been studying the Nazca Lines for the last few years, alongside world-renowned Peruvian archaeologist Johnny Isla. Luis has developed a technique of using flying drones to record sites in enormous detail so as to closely study them.
We have been finding hundreds and hundreds of new figures.
Luis explains that the lines date back to the first millennium, with different cultures in the area making lines since then. And the technique for making them is actually fairly straightforward.
I mean, they simply lift dark stones from a light color soil that lies below it, and you reveal that white soil.
Ever since the lines were spotted by pilots flying over them in the 1930s, there have been different theories as to their origins. Some posited that they were astronomical representations, that they pointed to underground water supplies, or that they were paths.
I myself have been exploring the fact that the lines are actually put together to be seen at night. That contrast between light-colored soil and dark stones in the middle of a moon, full moon night looks fantastic. You know?
While the theories are interesting, for Luis, it's the question of how the lines were designed that is really compelling.
The actual world-famous Nazca lines, those beautiful figures, you know, particularly you know, that those hummingbirds and monkeys and spiders and whales, you know, they use a very, very peculiar technique, and that is a single line that goes around. It's not one line that is cut and then another one that is cut. No, it's like an outline. The real question is, how do you design them? Using a single line.
Luis believes that the designer of the most famous Nazca lines of animals must have been a savant, a true artistic genius.
Before him, they were doing geometric designs, pure geometry into these magnificent designs. And that jump from one thing to the other, I think, has to be done by somebody that is exceptionally gifted.
Could the jump have come another way? We want to know what an archaeologist like Luis makes of the theories of people like Eric von Däniken, that the Nazca lines were made by or for aliens.
I, like you, have fun with these ideas. I think that everybody's entitled to have their own opinion and to believe whatever they want.
Of course, there is a darker side to the aliens theory.
But the problem lying underneath that, the speculation is that somebody from outer space have to come here to bring us civilization. Because the people living here were not intelligent enough to develop, you know, things like irrigation or agriculture. We always have to have somebody coming from somewhere else. And of course, this is basically a justification of racism and a racist conception that basically, we need a supernatural being, you know, embedded with supernatural powers so that we can actually move forward.
It is so insulting, though, isn't it? Like, oh, the ancient Egyptians couldn't have made the pyramids.
Yeah.
Like,
they didn't even have iPhones.
Yeah.
Dumbasses. We can't work out how it was done, so it just must have been
aliens.
Something. It must have been something else. Like,
we are kind of incredible. When we want to be, we can be such an incredible species. To look out at a field of sand and be like, this would look good with like a monkey in it.
He thinks they were maybe like people coming in, like literally like tagging the area. Like,
oh, right.
They probably didn't live there.
Like, fuck you, spiders. We're the penguins.
Many of the ancient cultures in the Nazca area, like the Paracas culture, used to mummify their dead. So Some, on websites like Gaia.com, have claimed that the mummies' unusual shaped heads show evidence of alien influence, ignoring that the skulls were altered according to ancient trepanning techniques. These theories have even led to tomb raiding and hoax videos of alien corpses with three fingers. This is the ugly side of alien hunting.
At this point, I don't really know what to believe. I felt a bit out of my depth talking to Cesar, and it's hard to contradict the important point Luis the archaeologist is making, but I can't forget my own encounter. 5 years ago, I went to Marcoasi, which we mentioned at the start. There are strange stories there from local people about creatures crawling out of holes in the ground to abduct people. There have been sightings of these really weird tall beings, and there are frequent UFO sightings.
Definitely. It's one of the most important places.
That's Cesar again. Of course he believes when it comes to Marcoasi.
One of the great wars, galaxy wars, you know, from the Star Wars, happened there in Marcoasi. They fought there.
Marcoasi is set on a mountain range about 3 hours inland from Lima. Then there's about an hour's hike to Marcoasi. There you find these strange rock formations in the shape of animals and human faces. With my girlfriend, I set up a tent for the night there and watched an otherworldly sunset. We cooked a basic dinner on a fire and set in for a night of stargazing. There was such a clear night sky. And then we saw it. A strange bright light. It would make this zigzagging shape, drawing the letter Z in the cosmos, and then return to the starting point and do it again, over and over. It wasn't a plane. It wasn't a star. So what the hell was it? A UFO?
So, Darren and I have this in common. We both saw something in the sky on a very particular night. So I had to call Eva, the person that I saw this with, and I needed to see if she remembered it in the same way that I did. Hey, you. I think we probably haven't, like, spoken in 20 years.
We're not that old.
I'm not sure how to, like, maybe I'll give you my side of this moment. See if you even remember it. You're nodding. You're nodding very vigorously.
It was 2000, I think. And we decided to go climb up this hill. I think we were just sitting there for a while, just watching the city. And then there was three lights that just turned on. And they were really far away. They were over on the altiplano. And I want to say like 20 or 30 feet by 20 or 30 feet. Like they were big. They turned off for a while. And then they all turned on for a while. And they kind of did that. Then I feel like one changed color. There was one that was kind of pink. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yes.
They moved. They actually like picked up and moved, which I was not expecting. And I want to say it happened for a few hours or like at least an hour. And I think at which point we were just kind of like done and left. Yeah. Like I don't think it actually ended.
You've never come to a conclusion as to what we saw.
No, I mean, I can definitely say I'm glad that we're talking about it because I always wondered. There's just mysteries in life beyond what we really know about, I think. I don't have an explanation, but I know I saw that for sure.
So here's a question. When I said I wanted to talk to you, did you think this is what I wanted to talk to you about?
Yeah, I knew.
Been carrying around these this little moment for quite a while. Thanks for talking to me.
Sure.
Well, in the case of my potential UFO sighting, we just didn't talk about it. Because I think, what do you say? It's just weird.
For like 20 years, right?
For 20 years, we didn't talk about it.
It's so odd to me, because you would like...
Wait till you have
you
your
UFO. You would just go home or go get like a piece of pie or something, or like go have a meal and just be like, what? So are we cool? Like, what was that?
Are we never going to talk about this again? No, I really can't. I can't explain why, but it seemed completely natural that it was like, this has to stay here.
Yeah.
Whatever this was can't be real, maybe, or is, but what are we going to say about it?
we did have people taken to these energetic places where you can get this strange energy.
That's Corina Duran. She's a tour guide based in Cusco, the city near the amazing Incan archaeological site of Machu Picchu.
If you've been in Machu Picchu, you probably have climbed to Huayna Picchu, right? In the halfway, there's an entry going to the Temple of the Moon. Oh my God, that place you have to go prepared. And you have to be a believer. And I saw people. I don't know if you heard about Anunnakis.
The Anunnaki are deities that appear in a number of ancient cultures' myths, the most renowned of which are the Sumerians. But some people, including Eric von Daniken, prefer the ancient astronaut theory that the Anunnaki are extraterrestrials who guided human evolution some 50,000 years ago. And Corina's shamans claimed to have seen them.
I can feel only energies, but they can see it. Cuerpos celestiales nos están mirando. And they said, los Anunnakis están aquí. They are here for us. So it's amazing. They always tell you, yes, open your chakra to see this one. I was scared, but not scared to run away. I was scared, like, what is this?
And so do you believe in the Anunnaki then?
It is mysterious. I grew up with this one since I was little because my grandpa was a great shaman. I'm gifted by him.
In your opinion, who are the Anunnaki?
They were the people who come from other spaces, definitely. Definitely, yeah. To help our people because we were not a good people. We were not good beings.
For those interested in these things, Corina recommends a certain interdimensional doorway on Lake Titicaca on the border with my home country, Bolivia. It's called Aramu Muru, and it's a stone doorway cut into an enormous sheer rock face. And some people think that it's a real-life stargate.
That place is like, even when you are in the road, it's like some energy is pulling you, like say, don't pass without seeing me or don't pass without visiting me. You have to go prepare for it. I'm having goosebumps right now. It's so strong, really. It's very strong.
I decide to tell Corina about my own experience. When I tell Corina about what I saw, she is totally unfazed.
This I saw in Nazca. It was something calling me from the sky. And one of the things I couldn't even speak up. They always used to call me La Brujita. What did you feel? I mean,
for the listeners that don't speak Spanish, Brujita is little witch, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Corina is proudly Quechua. It was her first language and she was still mastering Spanish at university, though she now speaks multiple languages. And she listens carefully to what holy shamans say about giving offerings and carrying out ceremonies in sacred places.
Los portales están abiertos. The sacred gates are open, so let's give them food before people disappear or before we were punished by them.
By this point in our hour-long chat, the line for me between believing in extraterrestrial beings and the spiritual beliefs of local people in rural places had become pretty blurred. Sightings are almost a part of their daily lives, and increasingly so, it seems.
If something is happening, of course, the media is going to say something else, but there's something happening. Country people, they have their histories generation to generation, and they always said, okay, they're coming to claim their land because we have destroyed. So they're coming maybe to help us, or maybe they're going to just come back and took from us. That's what the local people says.
To us, it feels like you need a certain kind of heart and mind to be an alien hunter. And also to feel them in your belly. Somehow, this ancient land, this connection to the sky, Machu Picchu, the Nazca lines, well, all these things mirror the sky.
They're built based on the movement of stars and the moon. We've been looking up for as long as we've been on two legs. And when you're 13,000 feet high, oxygen is thin and the stars are bright.
If there's anything in the sky, anything that's out of place, you'll see it. And you probably feel it too.
Sure, the truth is out there, but isn't the mystery the fun part?
The Mayas, the Aztecs, the Incas, the Tiwanakotas, all these civilizations reach this kind of crisis point that we're in now.
Yeah.
Nice. I know. I'm very sorry to put us there. Hopefully we're not going to be doing human sacrifice or ripping beating hearts out of people's chests.
Well,
the elections are coming
around.
You
give me another beer.
But, I mean, not to say that all UFOs have to do with that, but the community and the feeling of making sense outside of our own world links to that for me somehow.
The need to get the fuck out of here.
The need to get, but also the need to feel like there's something beyond us.
Yeah.
And that we're all part of something bigger.
So what happens in Star Trek is that...
I thought we were done with Star Trek.
Never.
Is that the whole like planet's fucked up after the Third World War and like humans are in poverty and disarray. But some guy like manages to build light speed travel.
Hmm.
It's just, yeah, it's this blue dot moment for humanity. And they're like, wow, there's like other beings out there. And they like start to look out and stop fighting. And within like 50 years, peace. I think they've solved, they've solved poverty. They've solved hunger. And they start getting rid of money.
So this is what Peru can teach us.
Yeah.
Basically.
Utopia. Yeah.
The end of capitalism. Interspecies alien
mating.
Absolutely.
That's where I was going, actually.
Oh, really?
It's the last frontier. Dun, 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 dun.
All kinds of weird cack mating.
I think that's a beautiful...
I think it's really good.
Those two sentiments are really beautiful. And the other sentiment that came out that I think is also really beautiful is the mystery of it all. The fact that we don't know is almost better.
Yeah.
In a way. So we get this window before we actually come in contact that we should enjoy.
The moment before you open the box and find out the cat's dead.
Yeah.
I think Andres could kind of start a
I could,
bit
totally.
Of a sect.
Should I try to woo you into my UFO
yeah,
sect?
I don't
know if you're vibrating at the right frequency.
I'm at a 2.2 right now.
Neil and I will let you get it started and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Maybe you guys could work in the marketing department.
Start ordering the Kool-Aid.
Passport Peru. That's an ending right there.
This week, we've got 5 saved pins to give you a map of Peru's most supernatural places. The spots you've got to visit in the world's mecca of UFO hunting.
Number 1 is Marcahuasi. The Marcahuasi Plateau, just 60 kilometers away from Lima, are some of the spookiest mountains imaginable and undoubtedly one of the best spots to see UFOs in Peru. It's where Darren had his sighting. Come for the faces carved into the rock in the human sculpture park. Stay for stories of creatures crawling out of the ground to abduct you.
Number 2, Chilca. The area around Chilca, just south of Lima, is truly otherworldly. A Mars landscape. Marco told us it's the Roswell of Peru. So it's another must visit if you want to catch some UFOs in action.
Number 3 is the Maria Reiche Museum. Once you've seen the Nazca lines, you're going to want to learn a bit about their history. This museum contains a collection of curiosities that once belonged to German scientist Maria Reiche. She was known as the keeper of the lines and was one of the first people to bring them to international attention.
Number 4, Aramamuru. Lake Titicaca, one of the world's most ancient and highest lakes, is home to floating islands, traditional reed boats, and the interdimensional doorway of Amamumuru. Locals see this abandoned stone carving as a portal to another dimension. The weirdest thing you'll find in this part of the country.
Number 5, the Laguna de Charo. And for another unknown, isolated spot, head to the stunning Charo Lagoon, found in the tiny town of Iquitos in Peru's Amazon. It's famous as the place where Peru's ex-president, Alberto Fujimori, had a UFO sighting of his own.
Thanks for listening, guys. That's it from us. If you're a fan of what we do here, please take some time to rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts. You can also follow us on social media at Passport Podcast on Twitter and on Instagram. For questions and how to continue the conversation, you can find us on Facebook and in our Passport Podcast Fans Facebook group. Next week on Passport, our conspiracy series continues as we head to a place called the world. But this world is in one place. It's in Dubai. Harry Stott looks behind the scenes of one of the most insane building projects in a city dominated by them. But in the City of Gold, things aren't quite as shiny as they seem. We'll see you then. This episode of Passport was written and produced by Darren Lucades and Andres Bartos, and edited by me and Harriet Davies. Big, big thanks to Marco Barassa, Cesar Radigui, Luis Jaime Castillo, and Corina Duran for helping us make this episode. Our theme tune was written by our very own Ziggy Stardust, Nick Turner, with very special tracks from Enriqueta Cerda Mendez. Also additional music by Darren via his very own band, and drummer Jason Ribeiro, who currently go by the name of Time Cops. Additional stuff from Lieutenant Fitzgibbon's Men, Foxy Bassi, Attitude, and Oracle. The show is mixed and mastered by Julian Kwasniewski. Eliza Engel is our production assistant. Stacey Book, Dominic Ferrari, and Abby Glijanski are beings with intelligence far beyond our own. They also executive produce the show, which is hosted by me and a man who deals almost exclusively in close encounters, Andres Bartos. We'll see you in the next place.
How powerful is Cox Internet? Powerful enough to let your band members in Vegas, Phoenix, and Rhode Island jam like you're all in the same garage. Get gig speeds powered by fiber from Cox. It's internet built for tomorrow, today. Cox, always building better. Download speeds up to 1 gigabit per second. Cox Internet is connected to the premises via coaxial connection. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. Cox terms and other restrictions may apply.